Today's message is get ready for more change. As you have seen a little bit today through the announcements, Streams is changing. We are going through a transition period. Now that we have eldership, ministry is slowly being released to these individuals so that their anointings may be matured and manifested in a real way. That frees me up to allow my anointing to flourish and bless Streams this coming year. But let's begin with a little prayer. Father, I know that you are doing awesome things, not only with me, but each and every person that is called to be part of Streams. Lord, I ask that you open them up, you stretch them, you do whatever you need to do this coming year to help them mature and realize how integral they are. Even in the small things that have to get done, we are one. We praise you and we thank you for the gift of salvation. Let us not take that for granted. Let us steadily work out our salvation and bring you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. We can hardly believe that we've come to the end of a year and we're beginning a new year. And it must be true because we've changed the calendar and it's 2018. But in 2018, the world says to us, you know, we get peppered with, you know, you gotta have a New Year's resolution. Right? But I say we need New Year's goals. Goals are given and set in place to hold us accountable to our development, not necessarily be measuring sticks of accomplishments, although they are. But really, what I have found in the years of ministry, I've been ministering since 1991, and what I have found that there are three basic things that people are looking for. They're looking for their faith. Why am I here? You know, that kind of stuff. They're looking for hope. You know, what does the future hold for me? Because that's what hope is, it's future. But the most important thing that people are looking for and are running into all kind of places seeking this is love. Everybody wants to be loved. And I think God wants to stretch us this year to begin to stop loving ourselves. Let's let Christ love us. And let's allow Christ to stretch us, to allow him to escape the tomb that is encased within us so that he can love through us. Amen? I want to remind us a little bit of the story that we're going to go to. And that is in 1 Kings. Everyone knows the story. But it has so much prophetic implications that we kind of gloss over it. So I'm going to go slowly. It's only three verses. And I'm going to pick out the highlights of it so that all of us can begin to see how to apply this. So he, that is Elijah, departed from there and found Elijah, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yokes of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back. What have I done to you?" So Elijah turned back from him, took a yoke of the oxen, slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment. Of course, it was wooden, so he burned it and gave it to the people. They ate, and then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. I want us to point out a few things. Elijah, with the J, his name means Yahweh is God. Elijah, with the S, his name means God is salvation, or Yahweh is salvation. What does that have to do with us? God is God, and he is our salvation. We call him Savior, right? Our salvation. And in announcing those things, we have to understand that our lives are meant to change, not stay the same. And what we saw in this story, if we would go back one, is Elijah found Elijah plowing in the field, and there was 12 yoke of oxen. 12 is the number of divine government. So this was a divinely inspired event that was happening in Elijah's life. And when Elijah came to him, he found him, he threw his mantle upon him, which signified his calling. He was called to the ministry of the prophet. And once Elijah realized what Elijah had done, he quickly departed from the oxen and ran after him, making one simple request. And that request was, let me go, kiss my family goodbye, and I will follow you. How does that story apply to us today? That story applies greatly to us today. And I'm going to speak about two things. Not only the call that God has upon our lives, because we have responded like Elijah to that call. Jesus doesn't force us to receive salvation. And neither should we. We should not preach a gospel that is hellfire and brimstone. That's only one aspect of the truth of the gospel that we need to allow people to understand, that if you would reject Jesus Christ, this is what you're consigned to spend eternity in. Elijah threw his mantle upon Elijah, and Elijah responded positive to that. In understanding that, we have to understand what the purpose of Jesus coming. Jesus come and say, Mike, you're a great guy. I want you to be a part of my team. Or does he say to Moira, you know, you're a great lady. You know, I need a cook, you know, because there's a bunch of ladies and stuff, you know. We got to feed these 12 guys that responded. No. They may be aspects of ministry, but he has called each and every one of us to a specific calling in our lives. And what I find in the body of Christ, more so today than when I got saved, was that the body wants to do its own thing at the expense of the will of God. Because after all, I know better than God. I don't want to be that. I don't want to do that. I want what I want. But most people don't understand the government of God. Leaders do. I spend time with the leaders, and I pour into them, giving them greater understanding as to how the kingdom functions and how we can serve you better in whatever capacity God has called us to serve in. God's government is set up to have His will filtered through the local church, not the expense of the local church. In other words, we may sense a calling of God, but we may not do what God has called us because we don't like what God is calling us to do. Here at Streams, we've taken painstaking time to develop something so that people would understand what their giftings and stuff, how that works into the body of Christ. And what I have found is most people don't even realize that they have these gifts that God has put into them to be used. And so there is a perversion that happens with these gifts. Elijah came and he saw Elijah plowing. In Scripture, plowing talks about our daily grind. Every day we go to work. Every day we're doing something. And that grind every day causes us to have a little less peace. Causes us to have a little less hope. And mostly, it makes our love cold. That's what our grind is. Our grind could be our jobs. Our grind could be our living, family situations. It could be anything that is disruptive to the will of God. And it saps the peace, the love, the faith, the hope of what God wants in our lives. Elijah threw this mantle on. Elijah received it and said, "Let me go kiss my parents and then I'll follow you." And not only did Elijah kiss his parents, he threw a party. He threw a party in which he burned the yokes. In those days, a yoke was a very expensive piece of equipment. To have oxen fill that yoke meant that you were very rich, because most people did not have oxen. Most people had doves, chickens, sheep, goats. But here's Elijah in a daily grind, and he's very wealthy, and the assumption is that he's in the doldrums of going through the motions of daily life. Do you ever feel that way with yourselves? Like you're just going through the motions? I know I did when I was working full time as a gas man. There was days where, you know, God seemed distant from my thoughts and I was just going through the motions. And then someone came into my life who presented me with the gospel, and I did the one thing that everybody does. I rejected it. Think about it. How many times the people witness to you about the goodness of God, and we've all heard that God's got a call in your life and all this other stuff, but it never really sank in to be our reality. Jesus came into the world to seek and save that which was lost. We were lost. We were like Elijah in his daily grind, pushing this plow we're wealthy, or we're chasing after wealth. And God has to get our attention. Sometimes he gets an attention through a call, like he did with me. Sometimes he gets us attention saying that our lives are so out of control that if we would follow after him, he'll straighten that mess out. And I have to testify that he is that only person who is able to straighten out the mess I created to the point that I have peace, I have hope, I have faith, because I've accepted the call of God in my life. Have you? Have you accepted the call of God in your life? Because it's real important that we understand that each and every one of us at this moment should know, because we've been saved for some time, we should know what it is that God is calling into our lives. And if we don't know, we should be chasing after the man of God to find out. Not that the man of God has the answer for you, but he can be used in such a way by God to help you find your place in his kingdom. And then the more that you're in his kingdom, the more that you're doing his will, something wonderful happens. Something really wonderful happens. What we have to determine from today throughout this year is if we are going to do the one thing that God has said for us to do, that, and that is to become consecrated. It's an old-fashioned word that we don't hear much of. But to be consecrated means to be set apart for the purposes of God, not our purposes. And then we don't try to mold him into our fashion. He's busy molding us after his fashion. Some don't realize that when Elijah placed this mantle on Elisha, that it took 20 years of Elisha serving the man of God. 20 years before he came into his own ministry. Check it out in scripture. It's there. I've heard people say to me, "Pastor, this is taking too long. I got things to do. I'm this, I'm that." And I'm like, okay, let's do basics. I know basics. Well, just encourage me a little bit. When did you get saved? Such and such. When did you consecrate yourself to the call that God has called into your life? Well, I've never done that. Well, that, you know, you need to repent. We're real active here about repenting. It's a reality. It's a gift from God. That the goodness of God leads us to repentance over and over and over again. I've met people that have been in the Lord for, say, 30 years, never heard about consecration, never heard about repentance. They just figured, "I'm sorry, God, you know how I am. The world's got to love me as I am," and continue living as though God is okay with their lifestyle. Now, we're not going to get into lifestyles, but I want us to focus on consecration. We have been set apart for God to use us in such a way that the local church impacts our community and God's kingdom expands. Right? We have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And He has given to us His anointing. Each and every one of us is anointed by God, as the Word says. In 1 John it says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." You may know all things, but you may not know how to properly appropriate them at the time. John says, "These things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you." Try to deceive you. You're anointed. But there are people out there that want to deceive you from the truth. But that anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. Be careful with that. John speaking of a specific teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and it's not a lie, just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. The key is abiding in Jesus Christ. The key is understanding that Jesus Christ dwells in us. He can't come from us if we're about what we want. I'm going to serve God the way I think I should serve God. Okay, you can. And let me tell you truth. You will not progress in your spiritual growth as long as you are fighting His will to be done in your life. And there are many people who are spinning their wheels in life, wondering why God isn't blessing them. Blessing their businesses, blessing their families, blessing their contributions in their life. Because they haven't taken the first step to consecrate themselves to do the will of God. We have a thing that I do personally. Those who want to live in covenant, I test them to live in covenant, and in that covenant, I give them a ring, which sets them apart, and I also give them a sword, which in Greek says, etched on that sword, no matter the cost. See, Jesus isn't asking for the tidbits, He's asking for everything, no matter the cost. And in consecration, we become willing to do what God has said at the expense of ourselves. We had this anointing. This anointing dwells in us. But we have people trying to lie to us to keep us from doing the things that God has called us to do. And that requires change. The other word I want to use today is about sanctification. That is another old-fashioned word, but is applicable to the believer. Who can tell me what sanctification is? That is correct. It is the process in which God works in us, to work through us, to touch the world as He sees fit. And most of us, like I said, have not consecrated ourselves and are at fight with the process that God has set up for each and every one of us. I don't want to do it this way because what God requires of me is too much. Now, what you're telling me is you don't want to die because God is requiring you to change. And by death is denying the flesh what it wants. I have been saved since 1985. And in that time, I responded to God's calling. I have been baptized in water, which is another thing that people don't understand. I have been baptized in the Spirit. And God has given me tremendous revelation and wisdom because I've asked. You know, you read Ephesians 2. And he tells us to seek after the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And there have been many, many a person who have called upon me that they want the things of God, but they're not willing to do what God is requiring. And what I do is I set them apart. Not because I'm angry or anything, but they don't see how important it is and how important my time is to invest into them to walk after God. 20 years. Elijah walked after the man of God. That's what scripture says, poured water upon his hands. Water is the Holy Spirit. He did everything that the Holy Spirit asked him to do. And yet, it wasn't instantaneous. What God does is not instantaneous with us. Or else he would not have the process of sanctification. What are you doing with your anointing? The first thing I ask people... it's this: all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And I can't tell you how many people have said, you know, I'm not equipped to do this. I'm not anointed to do this. How do you know? Who told you that? Did God say? Remember the scripture? John said, those who are trying to deceive you. What God has called, he has anointed, and he expects us to grow up in his will. Today, the church is filled with a bunch of greasy grace in that I can do whatever I want to do because the grace of God is upon my life, and he understands that who I am and what condition I'm at. Yeah, that's true. He does. Read Jeremiah 17:9. It talks about your heart. It talks about how wicked it is. It talks about, you know, how God has to change our heart. And that changing is he takes out that cold, callous heart because we're in that daily grind. And what does he do? He gives us his heart. And what I'm sharing with you is basic and it's elementary because 2018 is going to be a year in which God is going to stretch us unbelievably. He's already doing it to me. And I welcome it. Jesus Christ is trying to get his people sanctified or go through this process in which we live holy and righteous before him because we are the ones that are called out of the world. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. And we have this mindset that if I just do what the world does, God will accept me. No, you're accepted by God, but your work is not accepted. Read what he says when he tests our works. He tests it by fire. Now, most of you have not heard preaching like this because, quite frankly, the body of Christ is ignorant of what Jesus is saying. When I talk about the Genesis 1:28 mandate, people who know me look at me and like I have a third eye. Like that's Old Testament. Yeah, but did he rescind that? No, he did not. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. For what purpose? For us to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. The sanctification process is to teach us to rule and reign with Jesus Christ in us, before us, and through us, so that each one of us can benefit from the love of God, not the expense of it. In Matthew 28, Jesus talks about something that's real important that we gather. Jesus came and spoke to them and said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The first word is go. Not draw them to events, I just want you to come to my church. Why? Well, you know, you'll feel the presence of God there. And no. We're doing things backwards. He tells us to go. And when we go, we're to talk about the things of God that he's doing in our lives to create a thirst in other people's lives that they would receive Jesus Christ. And it takes time to do this. But what you may be saying to me, what does this have to do with me finding peace and joy and love and have my faith, hope? It has everything to do with it. Everything. Because he who is in you is those things. If you want faith, talk to Jesus. Read his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. If you're not talking the word of God, your faith is like Elijah, just plowing through the daily grind. Your love grows cold. You become unsympathetic to the plight of people that Satan is playing his awful game upon. You have a job to do. I have a job to do. And if we're still doing what we want to do and we're not chasing after the man of God, what are we doing? If God's not in it, why are we doing it? Like I said, the world talks about a resolution. Which, do you understand that 95% of those who make a resolution break it before 30 days? But those who set goals complete those goals 80% of the time. What kind of goals do you have? Most of you have been in my office and have seen a list of goals. We attain those goals. We jettison some of those goals. We even add some of those goals. It takes faith to believe that God wants to do this. It takes faith to just submit this to his feet and get his approval, because he's the king. We've forgotten that. He's the king. That's why it says king of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's the king. We're not, but we're acting as though we are. And that process we go through will teach us these things. In 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, those who are in the world, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." We know this scripture, but do we believe it? It takes faith to believe that God dwells in me and that God wants to use me. But every time I insist on what I want, I'm spinning my wheels. I asked the Lord, I said, how come it takes 20 years for Elijah to become useful in your hands? He said he had a lot of undoing. He was chasing after the man of God. Yeah, he grumbled. He complained about why he had to do this, but he learned. In those 20 years that he learned from the man of God, he was taught by the man of God. He was submitted to the man of God. A lot of us aren't even submitted to Jesus, let alone be submitted to the man of God. And like I said, our God is a God of order. And that order starts in the house of God. It is Christ who supplies everything we need for this life that we're so busy looking to the world to find it. It's already in us. It's here. We have to realize that. If we have not caught that revelation, I would say today, consecrate yourself, set yourself apart in your little prayer closet, and begin to start asking God. And my word says, he gives liberally. But we have to ask. You have to consecrate yourself because you are part of a bigger plan. And this big plan requires the local church to be set in order in such a way that God is glorified. God rules this. This is his house. We've got to stop treating it like it's our house. God gives us the privilege to come here and worship together. In that worship, we heard a word 2 weeks ago about worship. And worship really has to deal with what is God doing in your life? How much have you fallen in love with God? To really acknowledge him in your life. Last week we heard about the plans of God and what he wants to do in our lives. But I'm just looking at this varmint. Got under his foot. Even the varmints want to hear the word of God. I can only tell you from experience, the day that I consecrated myself and submitted myself to the will of God, the process begins. The sanctification begins. You are moving into your full God-given calling. And we're in leadership here to help you find out what it is and then move into that. There is order in Father's house. And this year, what we're going to do in this change is we're going to change the way you think about stuff. It all starts there, because if you are in such turmoil, Satan keeps your mind set upon these things. What we really need to do is begin to experience real peace. Yeshua. Shalom. Christ is our peace. So we're going to begin to challenge each and every one in how we think about stuff. We're also going to activate our faith. You know, we have a tremendous project this year, which I think will be central to the development of Streams, and that is, you know, Praise the Roof. It is a big, big project, and we are not equipped to do it. But with God, all things are possible. I believe God has a divine order for us to follow, and we need to get on His plan and do our part in that. 4 months away, it sounds like a lot, but it will go quickly. So we will activate our faith. Why? So that hope, if you look at what it says in Hebrews, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not. In other words, we need to have faith to hope for these things to manifest. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I have faith to believe that God is in it, and I have the hope that it will be even greater than what I expect. And God's wanting His people to begin to do that. As we initiate our faith and we have hope, we're going to step out in areas in our lives that requires something of us to love someone else the way that we're being loved here. Well, Pastor, I don't know if I'm signed up for that. Oh, yeah, you did. Didn't you read the fine print of your salvation? It's a contract. I made a mess of my life, so now, Jesus, you can straighten it out. And I'll do whatever you tell me to do. Did we read that? Or did we gloss over it and say, well, I want salvation, that's all I want. There's a lot of things I want, but it only comes through Him who is able to make it possible. Luke 16 says it this way. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, what you jobs and stuff, who will commit to you your trust, the true riches? True riches is people's lives. And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? You see, this is a real important scripture that we want to do everything that to bless people. But you have to prove yourself faithful in somebody else's ministry. That's what Elijah was teaching Elisha 20 years. Are you faithful in the house of God? Are you faithfully discharging the duties? Because this is church life. And, you know, as Pastor Gary had said, you know, he wants us to begin to submit information that Ed has been telling us for years, but we weren't at that place yet. We're at that place now. Or are we still going to do our own thing? Faithful in another man's. You will not have a ministry until you prove yourself faithful in someone who does. But I want to do this for God. I want to help people. Yeah. Did it ever cross your mind that is God's objective? Through the local church. when you understand how God has made it in such a way, you will say, why have I been fighting for so long? You need to be consecrated. You need to be willing to go through the process. You must be tested to be faithful. I do this all the time with all the people. Monday was a test. It was a test to see who was going to show up and who wasn't. My scripture tells me, test these men to prove to see who is faithful. That's what Timothy tells us to do. I'm just doing what the Lord is telling us to do. And I have to say, everyone came through in flying colors. That makes me so happy to see that God's people are assembling and willing to sacrifice a little bit of time. Are you willing to sacrifice your time? Are you willing to sacrifice your substance? Are you willing to go the extra mile? Or are you just willing to, this is all I'm going to do. You know, that's it. I want to give you a truth. There is much more in you than you give yourself credit to. And God wants to bring that out. It's great that we all serve in certain ministries and stuff, but he wants to cause fruit to come out of that. Didn't he say he's looking for fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold? That's what salvation is all about. Not only touching our lives individually and exhorting us to be more than what God has expressed, but touching those outside of the church. You don't understand, Pastor. They're all messed up, you know. You know, they're stuck on drugs. They're alcoholics. They're selfish. They spend their money and they want to borrow money from me. The whole nine yards. And I said, to them, something real simple. I say all the time, what has God said? What has God said? You see, we've forgotten that we were like those out there, all messed up. And Jesus loved us to the point of where we are today. Think about your life. And the world's worse now. How much more is it going to take the fruit of patience develop in us so that we can love them as God loves them? He tells us he doesn't want anyone to perish. You must understand that your faithfulness will be examined. The Word of God is powerful, sharp, testing the motives of our thoughts and intents of our heart. But if our motives and thinking is based on what I want, I'll never reach or touch the people that God wants. Our goals need to be smart. We need to stop thinking that we just set goals, and they have to be smart. And I've broken it down to this an acronym of SMART. They must be specific. They must be measurable. They must be attainable. They must be realistic. Because sometimes we got goals that are unrealistic, that trip us up to keep us from what God wants. And finally, it takes time. You see, God is about developing your character and my character. Essentially, that's what he's doing in the sanctification process is character development. What kind of character do you have? getting quiet. I've taken the time to, with the elders, many nights when I didn't want to. But these men were chasing me down. They were submitted. What the Holy Spirit was given to me for them at a time, they were willing to do, no matter what it cost. The question is, are you submitted? Are you submitted to God? Are you submitted to the man of God? And I'm not talking that I'm not submitted. I'm submitted to the leadership of our network. Yeah, Pastor submits to them. And Pastor Tusi is coming in this week, and there's things that he and I are going to discuss that's important for streams and myself personally. But I'm submitted to these men because they love and care about what God is doing here with us. And they want to help us. They believe that God is in this with us, as I believe. The two elders are submitted to me. But the question is, who are you submitted to? Who's speaking into your life? Who's holding your feet to the fire? Who's making things accountable? Or are we still just doing what we want to do? 2018 is not going to be that. God is going to continue to bring order into our lives. We could either let him do it, or we could have more of the chaos that is happening in our lives. You see, sanctification develops our character, but it does one other thing. It paves the way to success. Do you want to succeed? I believe each and every one of us want to succeed in what we're doing. Whether it's our family members come to Christ. Whether it's being able to give to God financially. You know, things don't just happen ethereally, you know. God stirs his people. See, hear me. He stirs his people to give. Are you his people? I can't answer that. I don't look at the books. I don't want it to taint the way I minister to you guys with a heart of love and an expression of exhortation that you are more than you think you are, and you can do things, even greater things than you think you can do right now. God wants us to succeed. After all, that's his heart. Isn't it the same with our children? We want our kids to do better in spite of all the obstacles that they may face. In spite of everything, we will do whatever it takes to help our children become successful. I've said to my son many times, my resources are at your disposal for your success. And it brings tears to his eyes. That's love. That's love being expressed. And I've said it to those who are in covenant with me, that whatever it takes that I can do to help, I will do. And they know that's true, because they're my kids too. Spiritually, which makes them more family than my family, because they're part of God's family. I want you to take this message, ponder what I'm saying about consecration, the process of sanctification, repentance. Don't go to God and say, I'm sorry. Be truthful with God. And tell him why you're repenting. And then turn away from it and do what he says to do. Call the elders forward. We're going to have communion.